Friends, this is Dr. Percy Calais. We're starting to make 12 hours of special taping about heaven, about the glory world. And I told the story of how it all happened. A little boy back home, my mother went to be with Jesus. Many have heard this story. I was only a child, almost 5 years old, when my mother died. My father was left with five children, a lonely man. I was taken over to my grandmother and grandfather to stay after the funeral for a while. And I wanted to know where my mother was, and they said that she was in heaven, that heaven was up there someplace. Well, I couldn't understand as a little child heaven being up there, and I became a very lonely child, missing my mother very much, missing her because she was so sweet and kind. She was a very kind person. And I was almost five, remember it well, and I went back to the big house where I was born, where my father was there with my brothers and sisters. They all tried to comfort me and tell me that my mother was in heaven, but it did no good because I could not realize that she was not around the house anymore, walking around, going up to the attic to pray, and comfort me in that I could sit on her knee, and she would always be so nice. I remember it real well. Finally, I became very, very, very lonely, cried all the time for my mother. And they tried to pacify me, sent me back to my grandparents, but no one could tell me anything to really comfort me. I was put up in that room every night to go to bed, the custom at 6 o'clock at night. You must go to bed and go to sleep. Big bed. The bed was fastened into the ceilings, this type, and big curtains all around it inside, because sometimes I'd be real frightened because my mother always used to come in and tuck me in bed and say prayers with me before I went to sleep. But the missing mother was gone. And I did not know what to do. Cried and tried everything that little child could do, going into closets, different places, going even down in the basement, into the attic, to see if I could find my mother. I remember it well. But she was not there. She was gone. She'd been buried over in the graveyard, 21 miles away to a place called Oddington. When she was buried at the funeral, I saw her put in a box and put into the ground, and that really and truly did something and played on my mind. Why would they put my mother in a box and bury dirt on the top and put down? And I run between the legs of those that were at the funeral saying, "Get my mummy out of that box." But the place was empty. No mother anymore. No one to comfort me. No one to tell me about Jesus. No one to tell me about the lovely things of eternity. Then one night, something happened to me. In the middle of the night, just like a fire in the room, and I could see between the curtains of the bed, the window was open, and this wonderful being came, an angel of the Lord, and pulled back the curtains at the foot of the bed, stood there and said, "I'm your angel. I've come to comfort you and be your guardian angel as long as you're on this earth." And I said, "Who are you?" I'm your angel. I'm from heaven to come to comfort you." Oh, how it changed my little life completely. My mind was so really comforted by the presence of the angel come to really take care of me. And he stayed with me quite a while at the foot of the bed and talked to me so nice in a heavenly language. Talked to me that I would not to be afraid, that he would be with me as long as I was on this earth, until I went to heaven too, where my mother was. And he said, "Your mother's in heaven. She's all right. Nothing wrong with her. I've come to comfort you and tell you that I'll be with you." And I went to sleep that night, going fast asleep until the place lit up in the morning with the sun coming up. Got out of bed and went downstairs so happy, telling my father and my older sister that I'd seen an angel. No, and I was happy. He said, certainly something must have happened to me because I was completely changed from a very lonely boy to a happy boy. Really became very happy and singing all the time and happy and playing with my little toys that I had. So happy because the angel of the Lord had come to me and told me that my mother was all right and she was in heaven. No earthly person could tell me that whatsoever, but God saw fit to send an angel into my bedroom to tell me that my mother was all right, she was in heaven. So marvelous was this experience. I went then to live with my grandfather, leaving my father to go over to my grandfather to work and stay with him. My chores was to learn to milk cows and work on the farm very hard, and to do this was, in those days, in other words, you worked hard. You worked on the farm and doing all the things you could do. And finally, it come to the time when I was old enough to bring loads of hay up the steep hill from the hay fields down below. And I got so I could handle the horses, you know, good. We had a lead mare, what you call a lead mare, leading the team. And her name was Bonnie. And this mare was a very friendly animal. Beautiful mane, a beautiful, beautiful animal, a beautiful, real fat and nice. And she could even control the other horses. She was like a mother to them almost. And I was going up the hill with a load of hay, quite steep, because you had to take a kind of a run in it to go up this hill with a load of hay, big, heavy load. And she was the lead horse, another one horse out in front, with the other four horses hooked to the wagon, the horse out in front to lead them up the steep hill. And she stopped, and the whole wagon stopped. Now, behind the wheel of the wagon was kind of a roller wheel, and that rolled behind the wheel. So then if you stopped on the hill and the wagon back, the two back wheels fastened back onto that roller wheel behind, dragged by two chains each side of the wheel. So there was the load of hay halfway up the hill, and there was Bonnie out front, kind of reared and making a noise. And I tried to make her go, but she wouldn't go. So I walked up forward to where Bonnie was. She was there and kind of trying to rear. There stood an angel right in front of her. I was then 14 years old. This beautiful same angel that appeared at the foot of my bed stood in front of Bonnie the mare and to talk to me. So Bonnie saw that angel before I did. And, you know, lots of times animals recognize some of the spiritual things which a person cannot recognize. You look at Balaam when he had his donkey or his ass out there, and there was an angel there that appeared and stopped there in the alley. Same way with me. An angel came to bring me a message. The same angel appeared at the foot of my bed, and the message was that I was called of God, that I would be a missionary. I must go to the dark-skinned people of South America. I'm going to go and tell them about Jesus. Now, this grandfather Cox, he was a missionary man. He gave thousands and thousands of dollars to African missions. He was a minister, and he had a big, big farm, and he gave a lot to missions because he was missionary-minded. He wanted to get the gospel to the four corners of the earth. And so, here being a descendant of my grandfather Cox, the missionary call was embedded in me, coming from the spirit, I would say, from my grandfather. I was willing. I said yes to the angel. Said yes, that I'll do that. And the angel said, you're called of God. You shall go to the foreign lands, and you should preach the gospel to the dark-skinned people. So then here came the time to have supper or dinner. And there was a pear tree out in the back of that farmhouse. And the wasp was eating the pears, but he was out there getting a couple of pears to take into the table, the dinner table. Because they were lovely pears. I remember the taste of them real well. But I kind of shied up to my grandfather. I said, Grandfather, I saw an angel. You did, my boy? You saw an angel? What did he say to you? And I told him, my grandfather exactly what the angel said, that I'd be a missionary. Now, here he looked at me, with that wonderful eyes of his, those godly eyes, and that long beard and that long hair that he had. He was a patriarch. He was a real, real man of God. And he said, "Now you're no longer under my jurisdiction. I cannot tell you anything what you do anymore. You must listen to the voice of God, and you must do exactly what the angel told you. And if he told you to be a missionary, that's what you shall be. If you don't obey the voice of the Lord, bad things could happen to you. You must obey the voice of the Lord. From the time I was 14 till I was 18 years old, I made preparations to go to the mission field to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the four corners of the earth." Exactly what he said. "You will carry the gospel to the four corners of the earth." Well, little did I think of how I could do such a thing as that, to carry the gospel to the four corners of the earth. Just a little boy, 14 years old. But the angel and God saw my future life. He looked into the future and saw exactly what would be my lot in my life. So then I began to save money. I did not use a bank. But what I did, I pulled a hole into the haystack. And that was my bank. And every time my grandfather was very good, he'd give me money. People would give me money because they knew that I had a calling. And I'd slip around between two haystacks and put that money in the hole of the haystack and put the hay back in there very careful. And that's where I kept my money. Now, I tell you, that was a pretty safe bank. That bank never went broke. It was right there all the time, that good bank. So then the time in 1920, it came my time to go. October the 23rd, 1920, I began to make preparations. And in fact, I did make preparations and left on that very day, leaving on the boat to come to the United States to prepare myself to go to the mission field. The preparation was not just done in a minute. I studied the word of the Lord, studied quite a lot about medicine, and studied to go to the mission field. I did not know exactly where my calling would be, what country I would go to. Did not know. But then one night I had a dream and a vision. Saw the very place, South America. Now, South America is a vast country of many countries made up together. There's Ecuador, there's Colombia, and there's Peru, and all of the, and Chile, and these countries there, Colombia, and on the coast. Now, the coast consists of many thousands of black people all up that coast. And then the interior is all Indians, Aboriginal Indians of all different tribes. My first journey into this area was in 1925, going all the way up the Amazon River with a man named Nelson, all the way up to Leticia, clear all the way up into Peru, all the way up, and going into Iquitos, and all the way up into the interior and the upper Amazon. And God let me go back that time to the United States to study, to go, to make myself prepared. Well, I went into the service that time and learned pharmacist, mate, and this type of thing. All of this was good experience to learn what to do in the mission field. Then I went back again, back to the mission field to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was now prepared, carrying out the orders from the angel and the orders of the Lord to go, fulfilling the mission. Now, I never forget my first journey among the Indians. It was quite an experience. They told me how different ones had been killed and so forth, how that different missionaries and doctors and explorers had been killed. But I went back among the Yawas, the Kafanis, and the Yavari, and all these Indians, went among them to tell them about the gospel, among the blowguns and so forth. Then over on the coast there, in a place called Tamaco, and all down the coast, if you could have saw the conditions of that day, the conditions of the little children with their bellies so big with parasites, and here mostly Tamaco and all the coast there, black people, by the thousands of those days, very hungry, not much food, eating very limited food. And if you could saw the conditions there at that time, of people without food. But God began to move by the power of the Lord, and today Tamaco is a prosperous place. Tamaco has oil. Going through all these things happened during my ministry, then giving them the different, we used to use adabrin in the old days to kill a parasite. This is what I went through that all this years. And then also in the United States, having meetings. You could go on and on the different places that I've had wonderful meetings. And my book is ready. I walked in heaven with Jesus, and it tells my life story, a lot of my life story, and tells exactly how that God dealt me during my life. The book is 566 pages, 66 pages of my life's work in the missionary field and in here and all over. Now, here's what happened. I began to pray through all these years and studying the Word of the Lord and praying, doing missionary work and praying, going into meetings. And I began to pray in 1979, along in there. I'm not supposed to keep track of days, times, seasons, new moons, or attend big feasts. That is exactly what Jesus told me not to do, to attend and become more or less like a Nazarite, doing the work of the Lord, praying and seeking God in the beauty of holiness. How precious it is. But I begin to pray, oh God, I want to see your heaven. I know there's a heaven because the angel told me so, and he come from heaven to visit me. I want to see your heaven. I want to see your heaven. I became desperate to see God's heaven. I became so desperate, obsessed with this prayer, asking God to let me go to heaven like Elijah did. And I was thinking many times, well, if Elijah went in a chariot, why can't God take me? This was absolutely on my mind. And then it happened. It happened in a miraculous way. Now, remember, I'd gone through years of preaching the Word of God, years in the work of the Lord, years of preaching to all colors of skins, nationalities, and peoples, having great meetings, seeing the sick healed, the lame walk, and the blind see, all these things happen. And I remember one time in Jacksonville, Florida, just literally hundreds and hundreds of people coming to hear me preach the Word of God of all colors, skins, and people. And I was called to do that, to preach to the world, but I did not know how I was going to get to all of these different nations and tell them about Jesus. So then it happened. And I will tell this more long as I give these tapes, but the same angel that appeared to me as a little boy came and appeared to me again in the mission field where there was many people present. What a glorious time it was. There were three doctors. There was quite a few native people, missionaries present. And the angel of the Lord appeared again and said, I have come to take you to heaven. The one that appeared to the foot of my bed. The Lord as sending an angel to take us. I haven't been there since you was in heaven. And I saw some miraculous and wonderful things inside of heaven. But we went up and up and up and up until we reached heaven's gates. What an experience. Some said, well, it must have been a vision. It must have been this or that. But I'll tell you, my body laid on this earth for 6 full days, unable to talk, speak, or think. I became exactly like a vegetable in a coma. And my soul went. My soul came out of my body. We were telling more about it during making these tapes. And it was so precious to start going up, feeling gravity, having no more power over us anymore, and the resurrecting power taking us up past the sun, the moon, the stars, into the outer space, going up into God's heaven. Now, there's a real heaven. People's had all kinds of ideas about heaven. Some say, well, it's just a condition of the mind, or this or that, all kinds of that man, when he's dead, and that's the end of man. That's foolish, because God created man in his own likeness. And God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. And inside of heaven, I want to read from the 23rd chapter of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, Now, he saw the holy city. Now, heaven was explained to me very clear by Jesus himself. 80 times larger than the earth. And he said it's 2 earthly million miles around this heaven. Well, then the city of God is sitting right in the middle of that great planet on the inside. Now, instead of being a fire like coming out of the other planets, it's a fire, all right, but God's in that fire. For the Bible said God is a consuming fire. And here is this beautiful city right in the middle of all this great heaven where all the beautiful mountains and gold and all the trees and all the seas and all of the beautiful city four square and all of the sea of glass and this beautiful river. Now, but John saw this new heaven. I saw the new heaven. And God is preparing and getting this heaven ready for those who serve him, for those who serve God. To serve God is really what is a blessing to you, to serve God. And inside of heaven, I saw these millions of souls in there coming from all nations and kindreds of people. Now, during this 12 hours of production of these tapes, I want to know that it'll go along and tell exactly how that we're going to preach this gospel in all the nations of this world. Now, this 12 set of tapes, this particular 12 set of tapes, is going to be translated into all the languages of the world as we can do possible. And going to be translated into Arabic, going to be translated in African languages, going to be translated in even the Pygmy language, Swahili, and going to be translated into the different African languages, and also into the Arabic, and also into the Jewish language, going to be also into the English language, also French, German, Russian, and Chinese. Now, already, this book of mine, one of the smaller books, has been translated into the Korean language. But the big book we've got now, which we can mail to you, ready for mailing, I Walked in Heaven with Jesus, tells many things in there. It's going to be translated into Japanese, translated into the Oriental language, translated. This book's going to be translated. Now, also, this set of tapes that we're making is going to be translated into a different language. And this is going to be the way of the answer of the question when I begin to question, how am I going to get preached to the whole world? How am I going to take this to the whole world? It's going to be done through tapes and going to be thrown through my book being translated to all the nations of the world. So you see, God absolutely knows what he's doing. But the way it started, as we started up to heaven, here we were all struck down on the ground. We'd already had 9 days of convocation and prayer. We'd been praying and seeking God. The night before, we heard the angels singing out of heaven what is called the heavenly chorus. Then this great angel of the Lord came, and the angel of the Lord with a flaming sword in his hand. And he said, I've come from God. My God, our God, has heard your prayers, and I've come to take you to heaven. My soul, that was to my soul. The angel was speaking to my soul. My body was laying on the ground in a coma, but my soul had come out of my body and standing there between the angel of the Lord and my angel. What an experience for me to have an angel talking to me, a heavenly being talking to me. Now, it's Bible. You find out that Jacob wrestled with an angel. And also Abraham entertained angels and ate venison with him. That's right. An angel appeared to Mary when she was in there become pregnant by God's seed through the angel. An angel appeared to her. Angels appeared to men all through the whole time of existence upon this earth. That's right. At Mons. Now, the angels appeared at Mons at the battle, 1914, between the German and the British. There was angels appeared in the sky. The German general and the British general saw the angels, so did. And the angels appeared at Mons in the skies. Angels have been around ever since the creation of man, angels. So, This happened to me. This marvelous experience happened to me as I was laying there, my body on the ground, my soul alive and alive for you right now. Blessed Father, I pray for these precious people out there. Make them prosperous. And if they're not giving their heart to the Lord, teach them the ways of the Lord. Come into their heart, O Father. Give them joy, peace that only God can give, that they may be ready for heaven. May God bless you is my prayer. I'll see you next time. You'll enjoy this so much. In one hospital in Passaic, New Jersey, a Jewish doctor there, the tapes, the album, one of the older albums, he gives it to his patients. And he has a little cassette. And they play that, and he puts it on their ears. And God blesses in such a marvelous way that they go and leave this world joyful. Now, friends, it's so wonderful to know that Jesus is real. Now, I would like to say also this to you, that the next half of this tape will be very interesting also. We're going to sit here and make 12 of these wonderful tapes for you. I'm going to tell you all about the city, Four Square, the New Jerusalem, also the banqueting house, the river of life, and also God's throne will be coming up in this. Friends, I want to pray for you right now. Blessed Father, I pray for these precious people out there. Make them prosperous. And if they're not giving their heart to the Lord, teach them the ways of the Lord. Come into their heart, O Father. Give them joy, peace that only God can give, that they may be ready for heaven. May God bless you is my prayer. I'll see you next time. This is the second half of tape number one of this new series, Have I Walked in Heaven with Jesus? This wonderful experience I had in heaven is helping many thousands of people out in the world who could not begin to understand what eternal life is. Eternal life is life after death, and there is life after death. And if you remember when the woman touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, the virtue went out of Jesus and came into the woman. Of course, it caused the issue of blood to stop. It also gave her a healing power from Jesus, and she received energy. I've been asked this question many, many times. Where do you get all your energy? I do not operate on energy. When I speak the word of God, I speak by the way of virtue. Now, Jesus, the woman received the virtue out of Jesus, not energy, the virtue. It is different. I have prayed for the sick and afflicted as long as 4 hours at a time. And many ministers will say, I am absolutely tired out, that I am ready to drop. Remember, they must have been using ordinary energy instead of the virtue of Jesus. Heaven is full of virtue and full of the glory of God and the power of God. I have prayed for the sick and have prayed for them to get the Holy Ghost and the heavenly vision. And God has done it for them, given the baptism the power of heaven, the power of the Holy Ghost, because heaven's real. If you turn to energy or turn to the power of man, you absolutely get tired and you cannot do what you could do by operating through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is real, so heaven is operated by the Spirit of God. The river of life in heaven, is the Spirit of God flowing through the great power of heaven, the great power of the glory of God, through the great power. Now, the throne of God is over 2,000 miles high, earthly miles. So you can imagine how that gigantic mountain looks when you stand at the base of the throne. Look up the great God Jehovah, God Almighty, God the power of the glory of God. Now, God created all things. He created the heaven, the earth, the universe, and everything that there is. Now, for one thing, what I'd like to say, the human body is a product of God, is a product of God's creation. Now, for instance, you take the eyes of a person. Now, the eyes that can see, they can see things. Human eyes, animals' eyes can see things. But then you've got the human brain, and you've got also the body, the human, the body. Now let's consider the brain of man. The brain is one of the greatest pieces of God's creation there is. A person can remember back many times till they're 3 or 4 years old, and that's all in the human brain. That is God's creation inside a man, God's glorious power of God to create man. And this wonderful, wonderful body of ours, created by God, is actually a miraculous piece of God's wonderful creation. God looks like man. When you look at God on the throne and you see his body, but you can't see his face, he's after the image of man. Now, God made man in his own image. He made him to look like himself, with legs and with arms and with a head and with shoulders, just like we are, only a tremendous big God. But God is a God of love. He's a God of power. He's a God of reality. He's a God that created all things. So when you think of the great creation of God, the human body, and all these things have been happening for millions of years of God's great creation, there has to be a God. There has to be a God, because how could it all happen? It's impossible for these things just to happen through evolution. Evolution, you take a little fly or something like that, or a spider or something like that, or a monkey, and you think that we, with intelligence and the brains that man have to do things, come from this type of a background? No. We're a special, special creation of God. So heaven is all full of angels looking like men, only spiritual. All of the prophets in heaven look like we do today. All of the wonderful creation of God is heaven, is after the fashion of God himself, and we're after the fashion of God's creation. My friends, when you think of heaven, it's a planet. The planet of heaven is trillions of miles from this earth. So I was taken by Jesus to the windows of heaven. We looked out into eternity and saw the planets, the other planets. And I asked Jesus, I said, is there anyone on these planets? He said, everyone is occupied by God's spiritual beings. So he looked out into eternity with me, and Jesus put his hands on my eyes. He said, look out there, you can see now millions of miles looking out into eternity. Can you begin to comprehend how far it is out there, just to figure how far it is to the end of space? There is no end of space. It's a place forever and ever. So where did it all come from? Why are we here? Why wasn't there nothing? Well, because God came out of eternity to create a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven is going to pass away, is passing away. This earth is going to pass away. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Now, God is fixing in this heaven without a flaw in it. Now, the old heaven is where the devil dwelt with God, prince of the power of the air. And he got jealous of God and said he was going to be like the Most High God. He's going to ascend up on high and take God's place. But God cast him out of heaven, and he came down the old dragon in outer space. But Jesus has prepared an army to conquer the devil and put him in the bottomless pit. Let's go back into heaven and tell more what's inside of heaven. Can you try to imagine the banqueting house in heaven, which I'll tell more about in these tapes? The banqueting house is 1,000 square miles of beautiful tables, where all of the redeemed souls and their bodies, when they come up, can sit at those tables and eat in the banqueting house of heaven, the fruit of the vine of heaven. Heaven, we eat in heaven. Not the things that we eat in this earth, but we eat the heavenly manna, fruit. There's all kinds of fruit in heaven created by God. It's wonderful. As I was walking along the streets of Cali, Colombia one time in the missionary work, there was a little woman sitting there so hungry with her two little children. She hadn't eaten very much, just a few pinto beans, wasting away for the want of food. And those little children with little swollen bellies, no real food in their little stomachs. But a few days after I met this woman, told her about Jesus, this woman sitting, cooking out a few cans, talked to her about Jesus and about heaven. She accepted Jesus as Savior, was filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, she didn't have much on this earth, but when I went into the banquet house and went and flew over the top of the tables, there was that little woman sitting in the banquet house enjoying the glories of heaven with her two little children. Do you remember the beggar at the gate, begging food at the rich man's gate? And he begged, and he didn't get anything. The rich man didn't give him anything. Well, the beggar man was in heaven. I didn't see the rich man, but I saw the beggar man. And he was with Abraham, talking to Abraham. But you know what it said in the Bible? That he'd be in Abraham's bosom. So Abraham in heaven is entertaining the beggars. So it's nothing wrong to be a beggar according to that, because the beggar's in heaven. But I didn't see the rich man in heaven, but I saw the beggar. So sometimes we think, as we walk on this earth, as different levels of the human race. We think of the rich man untouchable as far as the poor is concerned. And the rich man sometimes passed by the poor and doesn't think of the poor. But Jesus said we'll always have the poor with us. And Jesus walked the shores of Galilee and the Jericho Road. And he didn't fail to stop to anybody that would talk to him and ask him to do something. Blind Bartimaeus and all these blind men of the Bible days. Jesus gave them back their sight. Jesus healed the lame and the blind and the sick and the afflicted. And he healed many of those ones in the Bible days as they walked the streets and the Bible and the lakes. And as they sat along the side of the sea in different places on the Jericho Road, Jesus never failed to stop and heal them. And he gave them back their sight, the lame walked, the deaf heard, and all of these things. But in heaven, not one of these that were healed of on this earth is left any blemish on their bodies whatsoever. No such thing as a sick and afflicted man. No such thing as a sick woman or a cripple or a blind man or any kind of a sickness, paralytics. No such thing in heaven. Everyone is perfect in heaven because the glories of God are there. And I'm talking about the soul. And as I talk to the many people in heaven, talk to the different preachers and the different prophets and the different soul winners, talk to Amy Simple McPherson and also Dr. Price, Smith Wigglesworth. But I ask them what they were waiting for in heaven, what was the most desire that they had, that their bodies would come up. Their bodies would come up to heaven and join their souls. So as we know, there's going to be a resurrection. Resurrection of the righteous, going to raise out of the graves. The dead in Christ is going to rise first, and we remain. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and ever be with the Lord. So this is the resurrection of the body from this earth. And I saw the resurrected bodies in heaven. One resurrected body that I saw, one that didn't even see death, was Elijah. Now, some of those up there, you just find their soul. I saw the soul of Bishop Mason up there, but his body wasn't up there. I saw the soul of Dr. Price, but his body wasn't up there. I saw the soul of Amy McPherson, but her body was not up there. I saw the soul of many of them. That's right, Charles Price, Wigglesworth, and all these different ones that I saw them up there. But there was no body with them because their body had been buried in the graveyard on this earth. But Elijah was different. He'd gone up there with his body. So what they're waiting for is their bodies to come to join their soul. that they could be in heaven forever and ever and ever. It was wonderful to see all of the different but the most wonderful part about heaven was this: the thousands upon thousands of angels dancing before the throne of God. Can you try to imagine 10,000 times 10,000 angels dancing before the throne of God, dancing before the Lord, and in the wonderful reality of the dance before God? It's a miraculous sight to see this. And then also the wonderful prophets of old, as they walk around heaven, see wonderful prophets like the different ones, Isaiah, and all of these different ones, every one of these men walking in heaven, they're getting their blessing, getting their reward in heaven for their work upon this earth. Now, I'd like to say, too, that heaven is laid out in a perfect fashion. Now, there's a great big planet heaven, which is 80 miles, 80 times larger than the earth, making it 2 million miles around it. Inside of this heaven, in the center of this heaven, is the city. Now, the city consists of these type of buildings. The city four square, the temple, the throne of God, the sea of glass, the banqueting house, and also there is the needlework house where the wedding garments will be made, and also the record house, and also these different parts of heaven. The river of life, if you could just imagine, like I said in the first half of this tape, the river of life. The river of life runs over 2,000 miles long, coming out from under the throne of God, then proceeds out to the gates of heaven. And these gates are trembling because the pressure of the Spirit and the power of God. When it happens, those floodgates are going to open wide. And when they do, this power of God's going to come flooding down upon the earth. And going to flood down and rock this earth. This earth is going to rock and reel under the mighty power of God. It's going to happen, and not very far away, because the end of time's here. Everything is winding up to where it's the end of time. So Jesus become, and I asked Jesus, when are you coming back to this earth? And he said, see these buildings here, they're almost completed. He's the engineer, the builder in heaven. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also with me also, may be with me in heaven. In other words, he's preparing these places for you to live in heaven. Now, there's the big mansions before the throne of God. Three mansions, three rows deep. Unless try to figure it out, 500,000 miles long. All these great mansions before the throne of God. And then there's 10,000 miles of smaller mansions. And that's for the ones that was not soul winners. Now, what gives you a larger and bigger mansion in heaven is the fact that you won a lot of souls, because you have to have a big place to absolutely entertain your souls. Now, in order to go to heaven, you have to be washed in the blood. To be washed in the blood will give you a wonderful and a precious and a reality that's so precious. Friends, I want to ask you one thing. Do you believe that you'll go to heaven? Do you believe it? Now, the first step towards going to heaven is to believe. The Spirit of God is what makes you do the things that are real. To get the fullness of God, you receive the fullness of the Spirit. It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Altogether different, speaking in tongues, as the Spirit gave his utterance. Man is born without knowing God. He's born without knowing there's a heaven. Happened to me when I was a young boy. But you learn by faith. Something happens to you and causes you to believe there's a heaven. Now, as I was a little boy, I didn't know where my mother had gone. I had no idea where she'd gone. But they told me it was heaven. But I had to find out by getting contact with a human, with a heavenly soul, with an angel. There'll be no such thing as wheelchairs or anything up there to assist you. You'll walk under the power and the mighty God. Now, there is jasper stones there, the emeralds, and all these beautiful stones in heaven. But the rainbow. Consider the rainbow in heaven. Now, what makes the rainbow in heaven? The rainbow is caused by the prayers of the saints of God who pray upon this earth. And they pray, and that takes 6 hours for that prayer to reach heaven. It can go right away in case of an emergency, and that word, that emergency number is J-E-S-U-S, which is Jesus. That's the emergency number. Just say Jesus, and he's right there. But there's the prayer of intercession. There's the prayer of faith, the prayer praying for souls, the prayer of prayer to God. Everything happens in heaven in the wonderful cleanliness of God, the purity of God. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is why there is three definite persons, Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It's impossible for Jesus to be his own Father. For Jesus to be that would be impossible. Now, he also said, my Father and I are one. In other words, there is unity between the Spirit of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father is a spirit. It's a spirit of God. God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you have to be spiritual to know God and to worship God, the Spirit of the living God. Friends, can you try to understand what it's all about? What everything, how everything happens in heaven? Now, the Spirit of God operates all of heaven. It works under the power of the mighty God. Works under his power. Now, God is the creator of all things. And he's creating millions and millions of tons of precious stones. Just to stud your mansion, would make your mansions real. When Jesus came out of eternity, he was a spirit and a spiritual body. But then God had to give him an earthly body. So then, in order for him to be a sacrifice, in order for him to be a human to a certain amount like us, and it was the Virgin Mary that gave birth to Jesus, a virtuous woman who was not contaminated even by sex or even by other things in this body. She was a virgin, pure and clean virgin. She was the virgin mother of Jesus. She was a virtuous woman, such as was virtuous never known before. She was Mary, became the mother of Jesus. And then this is what happened. When the connection took place in Mary, the mother of Jesus, it happened on a virtuous action, not by a sinful action. So here is what happened. God took the seed right out of heaven. He created that seed in heaven. He created that seed in heaven to create us. He breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. But also, he gave us life, the giver of the soul. And when he breathed into the nostrils of man became a living soul. There is virtue again and again. In the garden was a virtuous man. But when he sinned, he lost the virtue and became natural. He stepped out of the life of virtue into the life of sin. And he operated on a natural action of man. So there was a change of Adam. And God saw the conditions that man was in. So he had to have a virtuous person, one who was not contaminated with sin, one who was not in that condition. He had to have a virtuous woman. So how did he do this? He created the life in heaven. He did not create sin, but he created virtue. He created Jesus, and it started in heaven. But sin happened through man. So when he created man, man became sin. He made sin. So therefore God saw what had happened, and that man had become sin. He lost his virtue and lost everything pertaining to God, and was cast out of the garden to walk his life in the world. He became a sinful man. But Jesus was not a sinful man. A second Adam, or Jesus, was not a sinful person. So God took the seed of heaven and placed it into the womb of Mary, a virtuous woman. She told me very clearly how it happened. I talked to Mary, the mother of Jesus, in heaven. Now, it happened how she became pregnant by the hand of God. Now, what the Bible says, the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. The Holy Ghost covered Mary. The Holy Ghost absolutely put Mary into a deep sleep. And what happened was God placed the seed of God in her womb. Under the power of heaven, the power of all heaven, the power of the virtue of all the angels, and all the 20 elders, and all the beasts, and all of that which is in heaven, were put into Mary, the power of the seed that caused her to be virtuous, that caused her to be pregnant, that caused her to be the woman she was, to give birth to the man-child called Jesus. So then Jesus was born in Bethlehem. As he was born in Bethlehem, he was born a virtuous man. He was born without sin. He was born also the virtuous Christ. He had a dual personality when he was upon this earth, the wonderful Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee. And his personal personality was both Son of Man and Son of God. He could operate in the flesh, but not of the flesh. He was in the world, but not of the world. He was here upon this earth walking, but not of the world. He came to demonstrate the power of his Father, the power of salvation, the power of the reality of heaven. As he became older, he began to operate, because he had to do so through the wonderful, wonderful reality of God. A little child, he had to do so through the procedures of a human. He had to do it the human ways. He was to go through all these virtues in order to become the Christ he was, in order to become the Lord as he is, in order to become our Lord. And therefore, he is the head of the church. He is the head of the operation of God upon this earth. He is still continues to be, through his people, through his followers, through his body, through his Christians, through the one who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, God is no respecter of persons. He is not going to say, you belong to this, you belong to that. You belong to Jesus. You belong to him. And as Jesus began to operate upon this earth, he operated in the will of heaven. He operated with the power of heaven. He was able to heal the sick, the blind, the lame. He was able to do these great and powerful things because he is the virtuous and was the virtuous Jesus, heaven upon this earth. Now, as I talked to Jesus and walked with Jesus in heaven, he told me many things in this wonderful reality of my visit to heaven. wonderful things that Jesus taught me. All the things that I'd learned in the Bible became real to me as I began to participate and have my walk with Jesus in heaven. I walk with Him daily all over God's heaven. One of the most wonderful things was that I went in to a chariot in heaven. And in this chariot in heaven, I went with Jesus. There was 100 of us got into a chariot to go all over God's heaven. Jesus was at the helm. He was the one that was operating this beautiful, great, big chariot. We begin to go all over God's heaven, flying all around the throne of God, all over the mountains of heaven, see the beautiful rivers and all of the things, the great, big crystal sea. And this crystal sea, so beautiful, as we was flying over it in one of God's great chariots, coming off of the top of the city four square. Because the top of the city four square is the garage where all the chariots are based, the top of heaven. Now, there are chariots up there from 1 to 100. Now, it was a single chariot that come down and got Elijah, one that one man could fly in. Can you imagine that chariot coming down in the land of that day and picking up a man and taking him to heaven? Well, it's kind of hard to believe, isn't it, down here? But I saw the chariot. And Elijah told me, he said, this is the chariot went down to the earth to pick me up. And there's a chariot right there sitting on the top of the city four square. And then there was these big chariots. So God just sent a chariot down to get Elijah. But he didn't do that with me. He sent down an angel to get me, an archangel out of heaven with a flaming sword. And when that angel appeared to me right there in where we was having this great meeting, he had the flaming sword in his hand. And we begin to go up. We lost the power of gravity. The gravity told me, he said, this is the chariot went down to the earth to pick me up. And there's a chariot right there sitting on the top of the city four square. And then there was these big chariots. So God just sent a chariot down to get Elijah. But he didn't do that with me. He sent down an angel to get me, an archangel out of heaven with a flaming sword. And when that angel appeared to me right there in where we was having this great meeting, he had the flaming sword in his hand. And we begin to go up. We lost the power of gravity. The gravity